Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk, this May 8th, Wednesday edition. Steve Geller with Charlie Long taking you to the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. Going to recap some stuff with LSU baseball coming up soon. The Tigers getting back in the win column, barely eking out a victory over Northwestern State last night. But Charlie, I heard you in the Sports Flash with the great highlight. Wanted to give a shout out, obviously, to the LSU softball team, man. 14-inning affair in the SEC tournament, able to take down Alabama.
Quite literally two games. In softball, they play seven, so right. It was 14 innings. So crazy, crazy game. LSU comes out on top 3-2. Congratulations to the Tigers. Now you're looking ahead to their quarterfinal matchup against the top-seeded Tennessee Volunteers. So
you got
to
turn around and do it all again 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning. It's going to be a big one.
So hopefully the ladies can get some rest before that matchup. As I mentioned, LSU baseball had a tough time with Northwestern, who stormed out to an early lead over the Tigers, but they managed to close the gap late. Jared Jones launched a two-run homer in the eighth inning last night to erase the deficit, and the Tigers end up winning 6-5. Man, oh man, it was tough watching the outing from this Tiger team after they had just been so successful against the top team in the nation in Texas A&M.
Yeah, with Northwestern State, the Tigers' offense was pretty much asleep for most of the game. They jump out to that 2-0 start on a two-run shot by Brady Neal in, I believe, the second inning. The Tiger pitching staff, I don't want to say crumbled necessarily, but giving up five runs over two innings. It was three in the fourth and then two in the fifth on Cade Anderson and Fidel Ulloa, who are two of those pitchers that the Tigers are going to have to probably rely on come, you know, regional play if they get that far. It wasn't super impressive. And then you're looking at clawing back. Gavin Guidry was fantastic out of the bullpen for them. Four innings pitched, seven strikeouts, only one hit allowed. It was four shutout innings, by the way. So he kind of kept the door open for LSU to get back into the game, and they clawed their way back. And then with two outs in the eighth, Jared Jones with a big hit. You got to give Northwestern State a lot of credit. They played a great game. We're going to listen to Coach Johnson here in just a second, and he talked about it. They were a solid team. They played a great game last night against LSU. But when it came down to it, Jared Jones gets the big hit. And Gavin Guidry has a great bullpen performance, and they come out with a win, and that's all you really needed. I like what he talked about, and once again, we'll listen to this audio in just a second, where he said that he pulled the guys in, and he's just like, we can't afford to lose this game. Like,
can't lose it.
If you're on a postseason push, you got to win every single game that you can. And so a winnable game like Northwestern State, they had to dig deep and pull it out. So,
as you mentioned, here's head coach Jay Johnson after the Tigers got that 6-5 victory over Northwestern State last night.
I'm so proud of our team right now. Like, you know, we've been playing playoff baseball for a month, and they just stay with it. Like, it's a game we couldn't win a month ago, you know what I mean? And just the poise. And sometimes you just need competitors. I mean, like, literally I pulled them up at the end of the fourth inning and was like, look, guys, we have to win. And I never do that because we're always about the play and the process. But it's like we can't go sideways. And I didn't like some of the at-bats early in the game. Like, I thought we were swinging for the moon, opening up the zone. And, you know, we had some non-errors but non-plays, you know. I thought Cade did a good job. I thought he got a little tired at the end. And it's a good team. Like, we've played everybody in that league, and they're right in the middle of the pack. Like, they do a great job coaching. You know, they're getting the most out of what they have. They have some dangerous position players, and they played great tonight. I mean, they made us have to stay with it to win. And Gavin's story of the night, I mean, that was phenomenal. And Jared, obviously. Ashton, two-strike RBI right there. You know, Steven, two-strike double. We played like a winning team, you know, and deserved to win in a really good baseball game tonight.
When the team you're playing is making really good plays defensively.
Yeah.
There were two hits that it looked like.
I know. Jared and that bat before, the double. Left fielder, like, I mean, he's got to be put up for some kind of Gold Glove Award just on tonight alone. I don't know if you guys remember the Nichols game last year that we lost. It felt very reminiscent to that. They played a great game tonight. I mean, they played an absolute phenomenal game tonight. And we needed some special efforts, which we got out of Gavin. Obviously got out of Jared. You know, I mentioned the two-strike hits of Ashton to drive him in, and then two-strike double by Steven. Had to have that, and super proud of the team tonight.
You mentioned with some of the early at bats of the game that you didn't love. Why do you think that was sort of the case?
There's a lot going on. Like, I mean, this is not easy. Like, we just played the number one team in the country, and these guys, like, they poured everything into that. I mean, we were 15 outs away from having a chance to sweep, you know, and that means we played great baseball for most of the weekend. I know the score didn't end up great by the end of the game on Sunday, but we played great baseball. They're in the middle of finals. There's just a lot going on. Like, I could feel it a little bit. They looked a little fatigued and tired, and that's not to, again, take away anything from how we played tonight, because I thought once we flipped it, that's just called in the fourth inning on, we played great. You know, we had really quality at bats. You mentioned the plays. Like, there's a lot of guys that had way better nights than what their stats will show in this game in terms of how they took at bats, how hard they hit the ball. But I think we just needed to control the zone a little better and not try to do too much. And you know how that goes. I mean, a lot of these guys are nearing the end here, and, you know, I'm sure they want to hit another homer, hit the box and all that stuff. Those are just human. They're human beings. Like, those are emotions. And, you know, like, Hayden check swung on a 1-0 pitch that wasn't even near the zone, and then half swung on a 2-0 pitch. I was like, come on, man. Like, that's not it. And then I thought, I don't know if he had anything to show for it. He took much better at bats from there. I thought Jared took up good at bats all night. And there was it's probably better than whatever hits we had, 8 hits in totality. It took a little bit to get going. Big home run by Brady, obviously. That was awesome.
Talking about Alabama, what's the message for your team headed into this weekend in Tuscaloosa?
It's awesome. I mean, we've played our way into, this is an awesome series, you know. And we're going to have a blast, you know, going out there and competing and going for it.
LSU baseball getting ready for that series Friday in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. And Charlie, I know you just mentioned to me you got the SEC standings in front of you. What's it looking like for this Tiger team?
So 14 teams. There's, funny enough, a gap between 7 and 8. The top 7 teams all have winning records. You're looking at Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Georgia, South Carolina, all 13-11 to 18-6. So that's the top 7 teams. Then the next 5 spots are all really tightly congested, and LSU's kind of in that number. I'll read it out to you. Vanderbilt is number 8 at 11-13. Florida is number 9 at 10-14. Alabama tied with them, 10-14. LSU and Ole Miss are both 11-12 at 9-15. So once again, 2 games separate number 12 from number 8. That's 5 spots. That's a big gap. So you're looking at the upcoming schedule for these teams. It's pretty interesting to me. Vanderbilt, who's kind of struggled a little bit recently, I know that they just got smoked by Georgia, they host number 1 Tennessee. That's a huge series. Tennessee is going to want to bury them, you know, playing a team that's kind of struggling right now.
And
they're the number 1 team in the country.
They're coming in mad.
Exactly. And then they go to number 4 Kentucky. That is a brutal in slate for Vanderbilt. I'm like, you're hoping they maybe go 2-4?
Sure.
Like, it's very possible they could go 1-5 in that. I know that Vanderbilt's a talented team, but that is just tough. Versus number 1 Tennessee and then at Kentucky. For Florida, they have a very similar tough schedule in these final 2 weeks. They host number 4 Kentucky, and then they travel to face number 15 Georgia. Florida's a team that's really intriguing because they have a ways to go to still kind of secure that at-large bid. They're right above 500. I think it's two games now because they beat USF in the midweek. I think they're like 25-23. So they have to somehow go 3-3 in this next six games against, once again, number 4 Kentucky at home, and then at Georgia, the number 15 team in the country. Really tough for them too. Alabama, they host LSU, as we know. That's going to be a great series this upcoming weekend. Then they travel to face Auburn, who's at the bottom of the SEC at 4-20. But you know, Alabama, Auburn, like, you know, maybe something could happen there. We'll
right.
have to see.
I like that.
For LSU, they travel to Alabama and then host Ole Miss. So they basically face the team that's right above them and right below them. So LSU, out of these teams so far, seems like a pretty clear path. Maybe Alabama has a slightly easier path by playing Auburn in the final weekend. And then Ole Miss hosts number 3 Texas A&M and then travels to face LSU. Steve, I'm looking at this and I'm seeing a path. And, you know, I don't want to get fans too riled up, but I'm seeing a path to where they could potentially leapfrog a couple of these teams. Depending on what happens with Florida, depending especially what happens with Vanderbilt, the issue is that both of those teams own the tiebreaker over LSU.
Right.
So LSU would have to figure out a way to finish a game above them. So that means that you're probably having to go, you're winning this series against Alabama, you have to take 2 or 3 against them, and then at least take 2 or 3 against Ole Miss. 4-2 gets you up there a little bit, but you would need those other teams ahead of you to fall off pretty hard. Like, the 13-win mark, we've talked about it, is probably the safe side of the bubble for LSU. If they can somehow get to 14, you're 100% in. But where do these other teams end up? Where does Vanderbilt end up? Do they end up with 12 wins in SEC play with 1-5 in that stretch? Once again, against Tennessee, the number 1 team in the country, and at Kentucky, the number 4 team? Who really knows? Maybe they finish 2-4. Maybe they finish 3-3. They're not playing great baseball right now. It's something to keep an eye on. Florida, once again, they're desperate for wins. They're 2 games above 500. You have to be above 500 to get an at-large bid. They're hosting Kentucky and traveling to face number 15, Georgia. That's not an easy slate for them either. So a couple of these teams that are above them, just keep an eye on, because if they fall off and LSU continues the surge, you could see them climbing up the SEC standings right before Hoover starts.
What's interesting, Charlie, too, you know it. It's like, if there was a time we were worried about this LSU Tiger team even making the SEC tournament.
Yeah, no, that's not even a question anymore. I think Missouri and Auburn are the two odd teams out,
right,
basically, which I mean, I think Auburn was a little bit of a surprise. They've just had a tough year. They've never gone on their run. And had LSU not really made the push that they made over the past 3 weeks, they would have been in a similar situation. A team that was decently highly regarded entering the year, fell in hard times early on, but Auburn just never picked themselves up. LSU has. And so now they put themselves in position. Once again, Jay Johnson said it, the next six games all mean something. It all depends on what they do in this stretch, but the pathway is there because of the teams ahead of them. They play really tough schedules.
Going to shift some gears after we take the break. Going to welcome in Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak to the radio huddle. We got rookie mini camp coming up and a little bit of Saints news today we'll talk about with Jeff right after this break here on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey folks, if you're a big country music fan, Brooks and Dunn are bringing their reboot tour to New Orleans, and WWL has tickets for you. See the Country Music Hall of Famers at the Smoothie King Center Thursday, May 16th. Man, that's right around the corner. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win a pair of tickets and see the best-selling duo of all time, Brooks and Dunn, courtesy of Live Nation and WWL. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster, or you can get the VIP package at VIPNation.com. Switching gears from LSU baseball to a little Saints football, happy to welcome in Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. How you been doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm getting ready. I'm ready for rookie minicamp. I'm excited about it. Are you excited about it, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the things I'm going to bring up to you. We've been talking a lot about all these new faces around the black and gold, and we knew it was this weekend. The Saints sending out a schedule for the media. We know we'll get to be in attendance Saturday. I guess, you know, we don't get to see much, obviously, and they're not going to be doing a ton in this, you know, first round of rookie minicamp. You're not going to see a ton of, you know, pads popping and things like that. But I guess, what are you most looking forward to seeing, or maybe someone that you're at least looking forward to talking to? Is it Spencer Rattler? Because I know the quarterback position, I guess you would say, is the sexiest position on the field, and obviously you can see and break down the position a lot easier than the others, I guess.
Spoilers, Steve. Spoilers. That was good. Anyway, you know, of course it's Spencer Rattler. I mean, I could tell you, hey, I'm really excited, you know, to see all of the, you know, the cornerback out of Pittsburgh State, right? The kid out of Slippery Rock. But at the end of the day, everyone out there is going to be watching Spencer Rattler like a hawk, because that's the most excitement that you're going to have at a rookie minicamp. Anytime you bring in a rookie quarterback, that's the guy. We watched Jake Haener last year, right? I mean, and it's funny because you're talking about a fifth round pick, but you know, you kind of see everything that went into it. And I do think that A, you know, maybe some character concerns dropped in, but B, you know, when you had that early run on quarterbacks, there was that big gap because a lot of teams who might've taken Spencer on in the second or third round already had their quarterback. So I think the Saints lucked into it to some extent. And you can tell that because prior to the draft, they signed Kellen Mond. And we were all talking about, oh, Kellen's probably going to compete with Jake for the backup job. Well, they waived Kellen Mond today. They also waived Tommy Kramer. And I think that's a pretty good indicator. The Saints did not feel like they were going to be in range to draft a guy like Spencer Rattler. And then he kind of was just there. And they kind of lucked into that situation. Everyone else's loss is their gain. So, yeah, I think this is going to be our first chance to kind of see Spencer operate in an NFL context. But like you said, you know, you're doing milquetoast offense. You're not really installing anything. It's really just kind of getting everyone on the field and seeing what they look like, seeing how they play together. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of intriguing players. If I had to pick another one, I think Kyler Baugh, that kid out of Minnesota, is a guy that we're going to watch and we're going to be like, okay, he belongs on the field with these guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing him go up against some of these, you know, interior offensive linemen that, well, we don't really know much about yet. But then, and obviously Taliese Fuanga, it's going to be exciting, but at the same time, in these types of practices, you don't really see a ton from the offensive line. You're not wearing pads. You can't really get into anything. No one's hitting each other. So it's not quite as exciting as when the quarterback's slinging the ball around.
I know you've been busy on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, breaking down the UDFAs coming into this rookie mini camp. Who are some of the guys that at least you think have a pretty good shot at making this roster? I just think we know with the numbers involved, it's going to be tough to make this Saints squad.
Yeah, well, you know, it's any year, if you get 2 to 3 UDFAs on the roster, it's a pretty good year for UDFAs. You'll go entire years without a UDFA making the initial roster out of camp, and it's not necessarily an indictment on the UDFA class. A lot of times it's just a sign that, hey, we have a deep roster and there just aren't a lot of spots to be won. This year is going to be kind of interesting to see how the new kickoff rule impacts some of the priorities
right.
on the special teams side of the equation. So you have a couple guys on the defensive side that are interesting. And I think anytime you're looking for, okay, we need a coverage guy on special teams, you're going to start on the defensive side of the ball because, you know, what do you need? You need a guy who's going to sprint downfield, find the ball carrier, and tackle the ball carrier. What do cornerbacks do for a living? They chase guys around and tackle them. So it just makes sense that you kind of enter that side. And you brought in two guys who I would call kind of tweeners, but I think tweeners are going to have a role on special teams a lot more than they might have in the past on with the new kickoff rule. So Isaiah Stallbird, kid out of South Dakota State, he's technically a linebacker, but when he was at Nebraska as a walk-on, he was a safety. 6'1", 210 pounds. And, you know, he's not really a linebacker. He's really kind of a box safety. So you kind of, if you're looking for a guy, it's like Isaiah Simmons is a similar build of like, I don't know what position to play him at, but I know he's an incredible athlete, so we'll figure it out. He transitioned to linebacker at South Dakota State, but he can still do a lot of those safety things. So he's an interesting guy. Another one is Lawrence Johnson, who's kind of the opposite side of the tweener thing. He's a safety, but he's a bigger safety. And he can be a thumper. He can be that kind of like lay the wood strong safety that I think the Saints are still looking for. So those are two guys that I'm intrigued with on defense. On offense, obviously, Dallin Halker, the tight end out of Colorado State, y'all talked to him yesterday. He's a really, really, you know, high level character type player. He's got great hands. But again, you know, when you're talking about the fourth tight end on a roster, which I include Taysom Hill as a tight end, and you're talking Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau, Taysom Hill, that guy's got to be able to play special teams. So he might go out there and make all these spectacular catches, but he's not going to make the roster unless he can go out there and make a tackle on special teams, because otherwise you'll keep one of these linebackers. So, you know, I think it's always going to come back around to that and which one is able to, you know, get Darren Rizzi in his corner. You know, when you're talking about UDFAs making the roster, a vast majority of the time it's going to be because Darren kind of stands on the table and says, I want this guy. So to me, that's what you're looking at.
Checking out the Saints' second round pick in Kool-Aid McKinstry. Guess we're really not expecting much out of him at rookie minicamp. I know he's still recovering from a foot procedure he had and will be really limited, but should be a full go by training camp.
Yeah, we're not going to see Kool-Aid out there. Dennis Allen after the draft said they were targeting June, which, you know, that would be, you know, the end, you know, maybe minicamp, maybe mandatory minicamp. You start to see him get some work in. But, yeah, I wouldn't expect to see him out there for rookie minicamp. Or I take that back. I wouldn't expect to see him participating in rookie minicamp. I would actually be surprised if we don't see him out there with his teammates, because there are other things that you can do that are not on the field that he'll be involved in. So, yeah, I wouldn't expect to see him in any drills for this. I wouldn't expect him out there for OTAs. And then minicamp is still, in my opinion, up in the air. But the goal for him should be, hey, I want to be a full go on day one of training camp. And, you know, we've kind of played this movie out before. And that's why I almost cringe when I hear a timeline like that delivered, because all it's doing is creating a situation where if he's not there on day one of training camp, everyone, you know, loses their collective minds. But in reality, it's no big deal. I mean, you saw guys, you know, like Rashid Shaheed really didn't participate for much of his first training camp, but he was able to make an impact as a rookie. So, you know, it's obviously ideal if you're not missing part of that main program. But at the end of the day, I think it's really just, hey, get that foot healthy so that when you do get on the field, you're a full go and we're not constantly looking over his shoulder saying, oh, is he holding up? What's going on? You know,
Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they use pads in rookie minicamp, right?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either. So, like, are you putting any kind of stock into, like, what you see from, you know, the big guys, the guys that they not only drafted with Taliese Fuanga and obviously Christian Boyd, the defensive tackle from Northern Iowa that they took in the sixth round, but also some of the undrafted free agents that they signed on the Lions? Are you kind of putting any kind of stock into what you see from rookie minicamp on those guys?
You know, you want to see him move around. You want to see get a read on kind of the athleticism involved there. You want to see how they compete. But from a technical perspective, no. Because there's really not a ton you can prove outside of footwork. And from where we're standing, it's impossible to really get a good read on that. Now, if we were able to go back and watch the tape, which we are not, then you could probably get a better indicator. But, no, I mean, it's really just about getting everyone out on the field. You know, some of these guys are going to be interested to see how they handle the heat, even though it's not that hot yet. It's still, you know, you're coming from Oregon. You know, it's going to be a step up. Some of these guys are going to get their first taste of actual humidity. But no, I mean, you can't really get a ton. Heck, it's hard to get a ton out of training camp practices when there's no pads on for these big guys. So it's really more about them getting up to speed and kind of starting that process of learning how to be a pro. And a lot of these guys who are out there won't even be there for OTAs in terms of the minicamp tryout guys. So it's always kind of a crazy, it's like a bee's nest of people running around. You're trying to figure out whose number's who, and it's always a little tough. But realistically speaking, for me, at least speaking personally, the biggest thing I get out of rookie minicamp is we get to go in the locker room and talk to a lot of these guys in person for the first time. And because it's only rookies, you're able to really kind of hone in on a lot of these guys who people are interested in hearing from. I'm interested in hearing from a lot of them, and I have a lot of questions for some of these guys.
Obviously, training camp a little bit, away coming at the end of July. But, man, I saw you retweet this from earlier from Albert Breer. What is this nonsense that even if Saints fans want to go out to California to see the Saints, they're not allowed to?
Yeah, that's a new one for me because, you know, obviously the Saints were able to open practices last year, but it was technically the Chargers practice. So I guess that's why they were able to skirt that. But I did see Saints fans out there. So I don't know. There might be some maneuvering they can do from a logistical perspective of like, hey, we're not going to stop you if you walk in the gate, right? but, yeah, it's strange. It's kind of an archaic-looking rule there, and I don't see who it could possibly benefit. But, yeah, it sounds like, you know, from a technical perspective, they wouldn't be allowed to just say, hey, we're going to have open practices for this date, this date, this date, because they're in a competing market. Although I would argue that Costa Mesa or UC Irvine, which is basically the same area, that's not technically – you know, the LA area. So where does their market end? I don't know. But yeah, that is kind of a weird one. I wasn't aware of that until today.
Jeff, I remember our conversation about the undrafted free agents this past week on Friday show, but we got to talk with Kyle Hergel and Dallin Holker, and I feel stronger about those two guys than ever. I think that they're, you know, very high character people. I know that you've listened to the interviews as well, and just hearing them talk and how excited they are to get down here and get to work. I mean, Hergel had a great bite. I want to say that he said, like, he's built for the grind as an undrafted free agent. So that's a guy that was on Mike D'Antilier's radar early on as far as the top undrafted free agent the Saints sign. I think those two guys are going to be ones to keep an eye on.
Yeah, there's actually a couple really kind of cool international stories with these UDFAs. One is Kyle Hergel, who's from Toronto. He was actually the number 3 pick in the CFL draft.
Right.
But he says he's 100% committed to the UDFA process with the Saints. Now, the question will become if the options are sign on the practice squad or go play in the CFL. What would you do then? I'm not sure. But yeah, he's interesting from Toronto. And then Nordin Nwili is from Germany, and he was an exchange student. I think he walked on somewhere. I can't recall off the top of my head, but then he transferred to Nebraska, and that's where he's been the last several years. And I think he's a under-the-radar kind of developmental prospect. I think there's three interior line options that should compete in Sincere Haynesworth, another guy I know you talked to, Kyle, and then Nordin Nwili. And if you're looking for a spot where there is a roster position to be won, it's guard. I mean, who's your starter at guard right now? Tommy Kramer is out of the equation. So it's going to be Nick Saldivari. It's going to be Shane Lemieux. I mean, I don't expect either of these UDFA guys to maybe win that starting role, but can they compete and earn the backup role? I don't know. But it is a position where, you know, if Kyle Hergel goes out and really impresses people, he could stay out. He could latch on. He's one of those positions that, you know, I think you need to have two lists when you talk about UDFAs. You can rank them in terms of how you feel like their talent level is at their respective position, but you also need to rank them in terms of, okay, what's the realistic shot at the roster, right? A guy like Matt Haball, I wouldn't say he's the most exciting UDFA, but he's going to be in a competition with Lou Hedley, and if he looks better, then he could win that job, right? Jim, I think the running back position, there's a spot to be won, whether that's Jamal Williams kind of reestablishing himself, or maybe a Jacob Cabote, or maybe even a James Robinson who's still around. But no, I think there's several positions where there's going to be a legit competition. And I think Kyle, if I was ranking them right now in terms of that pecking order at guard, he would be my top UDFA pick for the interior line, for sure.
Jeff, thanks for the time, man. I know you also do a great job of feeding our website with tons of Saints and sports information. What's some of the latest headlines that people need to go check out at WWL.com right now?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm doing a kind of a series on the Meet the UDFAs. I put up the first batch of them earlier in the week. We looked at the offense, and then I put up the second batch today. I haven't posted the story, but the podcast and the video are live if you want to go check them out. That's on Inside Black and Gold or at WWL Sports on YouTube. But, you know, there's always stuff up there. We have posts on Kellen Mond. We have I wrote up Dallin Hulker's interview, so we got all the quotes from that. So if you want to check that out, find that on WWL.com. There's always good stuff. Go check it out.
Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will be talking to you soon. Actually, I'll be seeing you Friday and Saturday. You're going to get sick of me.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. Take it easy. We'll be right back after the break here on WWL.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. And I was texting you earlier today. I was watching on YouTube. The D1 Baseball was breaking down their projections for the 64 teams to make the NCAA baseball tournament.
You know, I didn't catch it live, so I was waiting for it to end so I could watch it on replay. And it was like an hour and 40 minutes. I got through like the first 40 minutes of it on the ride in today. And so I didn't get to watch, you know, what they were talking about with LSU and kind of the last four in versus the first four out, but I listened to them talk about, and they went really hard in debate about the top 16 seeds, like the host, the regional host for this upcoming year. So they released their field of 64 projection. If you're looking at it right now, the last four in were Georgia Tech, Central Florida, James Madison, and Coastal Carolina. So two Sunbelt teams squeaking in. I think that means they actually have five Sunbelt teams in the field of 64. But then the first four out, Louisville, LSU, College of Charleston, and then Cal. So LSU, who was not even in the discussion,
I was going to say much better than what it was before,
has moved themselves into the first four out. Now there's 2 weekends left, 6 games in conference play remaining for LSU baseball. I think if they win both of these, you know, final 2 weekend series and they finish with 13 wins in conference play after a, you know, once again, a 3-12 start to go on that type of run where you basically win each of your final 5 conference series, I think that at that point they're in. Maybe they had to, like, they might have to win a game in Hoover or something like that, like their first game, which would be a single elimination part of the bracket. But I think, you know, you'd be in at that point. So Looking at also the projected hosts, let's talk about that real quick, Steve. Right. They have Lexington, the Lexington Regional, as the number one seed.
There's
Kentucky.
A new leader in RPI thanks to the LSU Tigers.
Yeah. South Carolina is at number 16. Texas A&M is at number 2, paired with number 15, UC Santa Barbara. So there is one West Coast host here. Number 3, Tennessee, is paired with number 14, Georgia. You can kind of see there's a little bit of a trend here with some SEC teams hosting regionals. But now we're going to go to some ACC squads. Number 4, Clemson's paired with number 13, Duke. Number 5, Arkansas's paired with number 12, Mississippi State. Number 6, North Carolina's paired with number 11, Virginia. Number 7, Florida State is paired with number 10, Oklahoma. And number 8, East Carolina is paired with number 9, Indiana State. And they got my Cajuns traveling to Texas A&M for that College Station regional against the two-seeded Aggies. I'm happy that they're still a two-seed, but going to College Station would be pretty tough for my Cajuns.
Looking at the field, too, the SEC leads the way. 10 bids in their projections. ACC right behind them with 9. Big 12's got 7.
Yep.
Sun Belt 5, Pac-12 4, and then a bunch of other leagues mixed in there. But yeah, we kind of mentioned LSU part of the first four out. It could obviously change dramatically this weekend depending on what happens in Alabama.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see actually where they get sent if they do sneak in and once again get hot. And
they'll send them out west, you know that.
Well, that's an interesting point because there's only that one West Coast host right
that's
now,
true.
And that's UC Santa Barbara at the 15 spot. But, I mean, it's worth talking about. If LSU sneaks in, you know, someone had texted us about, you know, where Ole Miss was in 2022, how they started 7-14 in SEC play and then went on their crazy run to win the whole thing. I'm not sure how likely it is that lightning strikes twice, but if you're a regional host, you don't want to see this LSU team getting hot like they are and coming into your regional as a 3 seed if they can sneak in.
No, the defending champs are definitely always scary. And
exactly.
Like you said, there's a ton of talent on this team, and they're kind of putting it together right now. We're seeing this LSU squad that, man, oh, man, it took forever just to win an SEC series.
Yep, they started 3-12, but now, you know, they're in position once again to reach that 13-win mark. Like, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about it. The path was so ridiculous that it was almost inconceivable, especially with some of the opponents that they had in these final 5 weeks. Like Alabama used to be a top 25 team. They fell out recently after losing 2-3 to Mississippi State. Texas A&M was the number one team in the country. You know, if you
everyone was thinking, oh, they'd be lucky to win one.
Yeah, so but they're on that run. They're getting hot at the right time. So it's a matter of if you can take 2-3 at Alabama and then take at least 2-3 at home against Ole Miss, you are set. You're in the postseason.
We'll be having coverage of LSU baseball on Friday when they take on Alabama right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. It'll be actually all weekend long right here, and we'll be back with more sports talk right after the break on WWL. Closing time. We are getting out of here, folks. Closing down shop as we get ready for tomorrow's show. We'll be welcoming in just a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Kevin Mawai of 435 will join us, talk about the O-line camp he's got going on. Plus, Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel breaks down the playoffs at 520. LSU baseball's on the bubble for that NCAA postseason. We just talked about that. And we'll be joined by D1Baseball.com SEC writer Mark Etheridge. Will help us sort it all out. That's at 625. That'll be me and Mike and Charlie 4 to 8 tomorrow on WWL and, of course, the free Odyssey app. I would love to be watching the Knicks taking on the Pacers right now, Charlie, but my cable box here for some reason hates the TNT channel and has it scrambled.
You're missing the OG Anunoby game, apparently.
Oh, he's going off.
He's got 22 points on 8 of 15 in 19 minutes. Like Jalen Brunson, the guy that scored, he's only got 8 minutes. Did Jalen Brunson get hurt?
Well, maybe.
Oh, I might have to double check here.
Right.
But yeah, the Pacers are up 64-54 right now. Tyrese Halliburton with 19 points on 6 of 10 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3. He's kind of fallen off a little bit since the All-Star break. His shooting hasn't been there, but he's having a good night tonight. Pascal Siakam has been great in the playoffs. He's got 10 points early on in 14 minutes. And then Obi Toppin in his revenge game against his former team in the Knicks has got 13 points in 11 minutes. So, yeah, the Pacers are off to a pretty good start. But let me double-check about Brunson.
Yeah, seeing here on the GameCast, because I can't watch it on television. Thanks, cable box. TNT not available for me. So Pacers up 64-54 right now, 3 minutes to the half. And, yeah, looking at my boy Josh Hart, what's he doing? 21 minutes so far, 10 points, 8 rebounds. Quite a game already for Hart, although 5 turnovers for him.
Big development. Jalen Brunson's questionable to return with a sore foot that he suffered at one point in this game. He's only got 8 minutes recorded, and he left early on, and once again, questionable to return per the Knicks PR. So That could be a huge development in this series.
Definitely. And the Knicks currently lead that series 1-0, but they're down 10 right before half here against the Pacers. We'll see how that shakes out. Be talking to you tomorrow about football, baseball, some more basketball. Love you all, New Orleans. We'll be right back. Talk to you tomorrow. Who dat, everyone. Have a good night.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.